And this is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Opal Tometi, co-founder of Black Lives Matter, is a dedicated activist working at the intersection of racial justice and immigrants' rights for more than a decade. Opal Tometi was incensed by the 2013 acquittal of George Zimmerman in the shooting death of Trayvon Martin and inspired to take action, starting the Twitter hashtag Black Lives Matter. Tometi, with Alicia Garza and Patrice Colores, prompted activism nationwide and introduced the banner under which this generation's civil rights movement marches. As the executive director at the Black Alliance for Just Immigration, Tometi is also at the helm of the country's leading black organization for immigrants' rights, steering initiatives including the first congressional briefing on black immigrants. Tometi reveals raw insights into the adversity inflicted by social injustice, anti-black bias, and uninformed views on immigration, educating and inspiring audiences like the thousands she addressed recently in Brooklyn to organize and stand together to transform society into a world where the lives and contributions of all individuals are recognized equally.
Having me here today. Now, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter." He said that. Good people, I challenge us today to know that we cannot be silent. We cannot be silent because our lives matter. And that is what Dr. Martin Luther King was talking about. In a day and age where our lives are threatened, we cannot be silent. When people are unable to access the basic healthcare services that they need to survive, we cannot be silent. When we have so-called leaders threatening to rip apart families and deport people, we cannot be silent. When we are threatened with the normalization of intolerance, with creation of things like Muslim registries, we cannot be silent. When women's rights are being stripped away from us, we cannot be silent. When men, no better than Klansmen dressed in suits, are being sworn into office, we cannot be silent. When people have applauded and given airtime and created platforms for white supremacist ideologies, we cannot be silent. All right. When instead of bridges to reunite, we are being threatened with walls and borders to divide us, and we cannot be silent. Beloved, Dr. King said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." And I hope you hear me. We cannot be silent. We cannot afford to be silent. Timidity and silence was what brought us to this moment, along with decades of efforts to reverse the gains of the civil rights movement. And with a culture and corporate media obsessed with celebrity and entertainment, some gave the president-elect and others airtime to share their misogynistic, xenophobic, and racist ideas. And now we're stuck with that outcome. Not on my watch, but we'll see. We'll talk about that later, okay? We'll talk about that. Many people are saying things like, we don't know what's going to happen with this new administration. It's an uncertain time. Let's wait and let's see. But the fact is, we do know what's going to happen. The rhetoric will become reality. In fact, in many ways, it already has. You and I have heard of the hate crimes that were reported across the United States, right? 400 hate crimes were reported in just 5 days following the election. And since then, it's doubled. And of course, there are hundreds and maybe even thousands more that have been left unreported. Right? Beloved, brothers, sisters, siblings, we need to stand up. And we need to stand up and organize ourselves now. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to millions across the globe who are impacted by U.S. policies and practices. And we owe it to our children and our forebears. We must ensure that the sacrifices of our ancestors were not in vain. We owe it to Dr. King to ensure his legacy lives and that we have the type of world he fought and died for and the world that we deserve. We need to raise a resounding cry at every instance of repression and regression. And we must not rest until we build a multiracial democracy that embraces the fullness of our spirits and human experience. White supremacy has not and will not take away our commitment to our vision. Never. Now, I bet many of you are mourning that President Obama will no longer be the President of the United States, and just ahead of Black History Month, that the United States will be inaugurating its most unpopular and unqualified president-elect in history. One who had... I know y'all could add a lot more to that. A lot more. One who has engaged in unscrupulous business practices, has used his wealth and influence to criminalize communities of color or to wage false claims against people like the Central Park Five. He's bragged about assaulting women. He's openly and recklessly invited foreign influence on U.S. elections and beyond. It's a shame. What's on the new horizon is looking bleak, but I have hope in each of us. I have hope in you. Now, when I first co-created Black Lives Matter, I did so to help end the silence about anti-Black racism and to demand a new reality where Black lives and our various intersecting identities would be embraced and celebrated. Specifically, Alicia, Patrice, and I initiated the project that has grown into a national network to help coordinate and amplify our voices. It began for us when we learned about the acquittal of George Zimmerman, a white Latino who murdered unarmed 17-year-old Trayvon Martin as he walked home. My heart broke. Trayvon reminded me of my then 14-year-old brother. And I couldn't imagine living in a world where vigilantes could murder black people with impunity. Similarly, I couldn't imagine a world where those who have a mandate to protect and serve us are sent to patrol our communities and frequently end up killing unarmed black people in disproportionate numbers. You all know this. Even right here in New York, we've heard many stories across the city and across all boroughs. For example, the beloved Romarley Graham, an 18-year-old boy whose life was cut short, and he was killed in front of his brother and his grandma. The NYPD officer who killed him, Richard Hayes, his trial is set to begin tomorrow. He needs to be held accountable. He needs to be fired. And let's not forget that the challenges we face are not solely about one officer being found guilty, but it's about a system that has been found guilty. The entire system. Guilty of seeing black skin as though it were a weapon. And harboring disdain for the very thing that makes us so beautiful. We deserve accountability. And being accountable is not solely about court cases. They're very, very important, but we cannot neglect to demand that repair and actual dollars must be allocated to fix the damages and restore our communities for the generations of systemic disinvestment and structural injustice. Reparations. That's right. It's about jobs and putting an end to the substandard education system people of color are so frequently forced to live with. It's about stopping the prosecution of crimes, quote unquote, of poverty, like jumping turnstiles to board the subway, or selling cigarettes or other wares on the street, like Eric Garner was when he was choked to death. We cannot act as though institutions and systems that allow this to be the status quo are legitimate. We deserve better. And our bodies and spirits shouldn't be crushed by the pervasiveness of injustice that plagues this nation. Now, systems that produce these types of injustices should be considered illegitimate because they will never allow us to achieve the type of multiracial democracy that works for all of us. They're illegitimate. And currently, many of us are trying to wrap our minds around a system where a person can have 2.8 million more votes, and yet they are deemed the loser. The structural impediments to our progress, like redistricting or gerrymandering, was part of a regressive vision that wanted to reverse the gains that we made. It's a regressive vision that does not reflect our times, it does not reflect our aspirations, and it does not reflect the diversity of our society, nor our human ideals. Now, Dr. King warned us towards the end of his life that he feared we would integrate into a burning house. Mm-hmm. Beloved, this is the burning house. The White House. We cannot and we must not enter it. What we are hearing and seeing is far from normal. And Dr. King warned us of this. And it's not enough to just commemorate Dr. King, but we must emulate him. We must also innovate much of the lessons that he taught us, applying his words to our present time. The reality is that this democracy is in shambles. We cannot mince our words, and we cannot back away from the truth now. Dr. King said, one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. And family, I think we are entering into a period where we will have to disobey and not comply with unjust laws, anti-immigrant policies, immoral registries, and any other inhumane, homophobic, transphobic laws or imaginations that aim to keep any community oppressed. We must understand our own power. And we must decide which side of history do we want to be on. What will our children and future generations say of us? The truth of the matter is, Hitler was also elected into office. And for those of us who don't understand how injustice could still be occurring in the 21st century, I must remind you, it's because it morphs into whatever is deemed socially acceptable for the time. And I warn you, Trump is a master marketer. That is how he was able to ascend to the highest office of the land. And we have to be wary of what he makes seem normal. Because in this country, we went from enslavement to Jim Crow, to mass incarceration, the morphing of the systems that still disenfranchise and destabilize communities, even though they may have at the time seemed normal. Right? We can't afford to see what's next. We already know that the private prison industry is waiting for us. I've heard stories of guards at immigration detention facilities rejoicing when they heard that Trump was elected. They thought it was going to mean bonuses for them, right? We saw a huge spike in the private prison industry stocks right after the presidential outcome. We don't need anyone to tell us how this is going to play out. We already know. More laws and policies to decriminalize us and lock us up. More excuses to kill us and leave our bodies languishing in the streets. But we have the opportunity to create another reality. We do. Our imagination and our conviction has to be just as powerful. Remember, there once was a time where people imagined us in chains. And it was. But then there was a time where people imagined us as free, and we made it so. However, as we make two steps forward, we often find ourselves taking two steps back, or to the side, or we're stagnant. But we must press forward. We must put on the courage of our convictions. We must know that we were born in the image of the Creator, and that none of us is an accident. Our lives do matter. And the truth is that we are more powerful than they want us to think. We have the ability to love and to protect one another. And I mean that. I believe that we can. I believe that we can come together across race, class, gender, sexual orientation, ability, immigration status, religious affiliation, any identity, and begin to create communities that understand our complexities and find our power in embracing them. It won't be easy, but we can do it. We'll need to challenge our own biases, but we can do so with dignity and with grace. There are no shortcuts to building the type of multiracial, intersectional democracy that we so desperately need. But we have to start somewhere. And I suggest that we start at the local level, fortifying our communities, ensuring Black and brown youth are safe. In our own neighborhoods, we'll need to be resilient by creating support systems where people look out for each other. It's not enough to just say that you have certain ideals, but you must live them. We have the ability, and we cannot allow racism, sexism, or anti-immigrant or religious intolerance to steal our vision. We can't. We are the leaders that we've been waiting for. We are the leaders that we have been waiting for. We are. We are. And we're going to have to do some things that we've never done before. We'll need to sit at the feet of elders and learn from them. We'll need to speak with friends and family in other countries who've been faced with similar dynamics and glean lessons about how they were able to be resilient and survive. We'll need to be unapologetic truth tellers who are committed to walking the talk. Now, one practical way that we as New Yorkers can begin walking the talk is by committing to organize. Everyone must be organized. We cannot walk this journey by ourselves. We can't. It can be lonely and difficult, and we must maintain resolve, right? We have to link up with one another, encourage each other to stay strong, and to do what is right. For those who can, we must donate to the most marginalized communities amongst us. We must donate to local Black-led organizing efforts and groups like the Black Youth Project or Black Lives Matter in New York City or migrant justice organizations like the one that I run, the Black Alliance for Just Immigration, the only national immigrant rights organization for people of African descent, working with African, Caribbean, and Afro-Latino immigrants who are too often forgotten, but are doubly impacted by anti-Black practices and by immigration enforcement efforts. Our headquarters are right here in Brooklyn. And you can also give to organizations like Families for Freedom, who are actively fighting deportation cases. Or you can contribute to organizations like DRUM in Jackson Heights. They are working with South Asian and Muslim community. And of course, showing your support to low-income people who will be reeling when healthcare is cut, and groups that are left most vulnerable, like our kin who are currently homeless. We need to offer practical support, but we also need to engage in visionary campaigns like the one that several organizations started just recently called Safety Beyond Policing. We'll need to rework this local city budget so that communities get the support that they need and that they deserve. Dr. King said, "The moral arc of the universe is long and it bends towards justice." But this is not inevitable, right? Justice is not inevitable. And that arc he spoke of does not bend on its own. We must bend the arc towards justice. We must force it towards justice. We are the righteous ones. We are noble to stand and champion human rights and dignity. We have the moral duty to contend for what is sacred by holding fast and loving one another. We should be clear that we are fighting for the soul of this nation, so that not only those who live here can survive, but also our families across the globe. Beloved, I hope that you will hear the words of Dr. King and fight for justice Justice delayed is justice denied. Now let's honor Dr. King and bend the arc towards justice before it is too late. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you to Opal Tometi.
We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. We who believe in freedom cannot rest.
And that's really the theme of our program. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.